Hello, everyone. This is Mark, the Ballpark Hunter, and you're listening to the Ballpark Hunter podcast. I am the regional correspondent for the website Stadium Journey, your leader, your industry's leader in sports and sports stadium reviews. Check out stadiumjourney.com before you make a trip to one of your favorite stadiums, or if you're just going for the first time, Stadium Journey will have everything you need to know. So my guest today is Hunter Kane, and he is going to talk about the different ballparks he has visited, how he got into going to ballparks, and what his future goals are. He's also a listener of the show. And Hunter, welcome.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate you having me. I'm super excited.
All right, great. Well, Hunter reached out to me on Instagram. Tells me I need to kind of get on Instagram a little bit more to reach my audience. Said he'd like to come on and just talk about, I think you mentioned Edenton, where the Steamers play, as a great ballpark. And I'm familiar with that team. And I think I've reached out to some folks there to appear on the show, but to no avail. But love to hear more about your ballpark experience there, because I haven't been to all of them. And I don't know, I guess we could start with, what made you get into ballparks? How did it all start? Was it a 5-year-old going to the park with his father or something else?
So it really started back when I was around 7 or 8 years old. My grandfather took me over to, they're called the Leesburg Lightning, so they're part of the Florida Collegiate Summer League.
I've been there. Yeah, I
And
know where they are.
so I remember going there as a young kid and just seeing the lights and seeing all the players and stuff. I thought it was really amazing. And so I remember filling out, my grandma had this sheet that came in the mail to every resident that was in their area that said if you have a grandson, son, nephew, that they should try to be the bat boy. So I remember that I filled out the sheet. They didn't pick me, so I was pretty disappointed. But my grandfather took me to another one of the games, and he was like, why don't you just ask the gentleman that works on the other team? So I was like, it doesn't hurt to ask. And so I went down there. I introduced myself. I was like, hi, my name is Hunter. I don't know if you have a bat boy, but I could do it for you. And so after that, I kind of became known in the town as the visiting bat boy. So anytime the teams would come in, at the time there was about six teams in the league. So I ended up over a 2 year span collecting different memorabilia from the teams,
Nice.
spending time with them, and just an overall great experience as a kid. And it kind of just blossomed into what it is now, to just trying to get my name out there and, try to become in the world of sports that I know that I can make a difference in.
Yeah, and how long were you the bat boy for the visitors in the Florida Collegiate Baseball League?
So I was there for 2 summers. So I worked with the DeLand Suns, the Orlando Mavericks at the time, the Winter Park Diamond Dogs, and the Sanford River Rats were the main ones I worked for. I will say my time with the River Rats was the best. They had a couple players that kind of took me under their wing,
Nice.
kind of taught me some things about life and about baseball as well, and about faith. And I think that was really important as a young kid to build all that stuff into becoming a ball player, and then just now, serving our country. So,
Yeah, exactly. Going back to Sanford, I remember being down there in 2006. This was a year before the Lightning played. They played a special game around the 4th of July in Sanford, just not Sanford, in Leesburg, just to see how things would go. And I remember going out there for the game. I covered it for, I think I was running for Ballpark Digest at the time. And I remember, it was exciting. It was like this old ballpark that hadn't been used in years, and now they were getting ready. And I also went to Sanford, Winter Haven, Orlando. That summer, I hit up a lot of those Florida Collegiate Baseball leagues, like Tinker Field. Were you there when they were still using Tinker?
so I was there for part of it, and then
Okay.
I was also there when they went over to Rollins College as well.
Yeah, because Tinker by then was a ghost town.
Yeah,
That
there
was.
was, I mean, I remember hearing stories from people that lived in that area that would travel to Tinker Field and say it was one of the
Yes.
best experiences they've had. And then, you go down a few years and then there's maybe like 30, 40 people there, and it just kind of suck the energy out of a
Yeah.
stadium, I guess you could say. And I think the most important part of a stadium is the fan experience and having those people making, creating memories as they
Yeah.
come back and forth from a ballpark.
Yeah, because when you go to a ballpark, you want fun, you want excitement. you know, you want to come back. You want to tell people, hey, you know, I had a great time in Leesburg. I had a great time in Sanford, or, you know, any ballpark across the country. And you're right. I felt like that year when I was there, Orlando, it was like, oh, we found a ballpark to use. And I was there in the early 90s as a teenager. And I remember thinking, oh, this was so much fun. And then here I am 15, 14 years later thinking, what the heck happened here? So I believe it's knocked down now. So unfortunately, all those memories are just memories.
Yeah.
So you said that a lot of the players took you underneath their wings. What exactly did that involve? Just teaching about the game, maybe teaching about, you know, life, friends? How did that come about?
So it kind of was a multitude of facets, you know, being a young kid. And after the first summer, I remember just being so involved with baseball. It's kind of consumed my mind, really, seeing all the great players in my era when I was growing up. So I'm 26 now. So I had guys like Joe Mauer and Albert Pujols growing up with. So it was kind of cool to see that. But during the summers, those guys would just, you know, they would sit down, they would talk with me, and they would kind of treat me like one of their own. And not just like some kid that was here to help for a few hours. They made it seem like I was a part of their family. And That's it was kind of cool to see them once I left to go back home for the summer, or after the summer, was to see them go on a championship run and kind of like bring it back, and then have them all call me at the end of the summer saying that they did it. So it was kind of cool to have like 20, 25 big brothers on a team instead of just being myself during the summer.
Yeah. So they made you feel part of the team. They included you.
Yep, for sure.
And I mean, like, did it get to the point where they would play catch with you? Would you warm up with them? Would you, you know, help out with equipment?
So a lot of times it was, you know, I would warm up with some of the outfielders. I would help the team take grounders, you know, kind of set up everything in the dugout. Of course, take the bats back and forth.
Yeah.
And then just having conversations after the game too were pretty cool, because they would bring me into the locker room, and you know, even if it was a tough game or they won, it was kind of an experience to where you can see both sides of the coin, and you can see how baseball not only teaches you about the game, but it also teaches you about life and about handling things. And I think I've taken that and ran with it from 8 years old to where I am now. So
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when you play sports, you pick up a lot of life's lessons that are on the field, and hopefully they relate to outside. So you're the bat boy. You're meeting future, you know, well, some of these guys are like future Hall of Famers that we're speaking of. I mean, you're meeting some really great guys. Any player that stood out to you? Like, do you still keep in touch with, or, you know, maybe you still follow on social media, guys still chat?
So I haven't really, you know, chatted with them in a while. You know, I'm 26 now. I have my own family. Yeah. I have a daughter on the way. So it's kind of, you know, work and school and just balancing everything is kind of hard to keep up with them. But I remember one guy in specific. He played for Claremont at the time before they went to Orlando. Cody Hall, he pitched for a few years in the Giants organization with Richmond and then Savannah at the time. And just talking with him and like just, you know, kind of being there and experiencing it. And every day he'd come to Leesburg. He would like pick me out of the stands, come say hi to my grandpa. And then just like, we'd walk down together. We'd chat for 30 minutes. I'd hang out with him before he threw. And then, you know, if he didn't throw that day, or if he didn't have a good game, he would still be the same Cody he was at the beginning and at the end. So I thought that was really important as well.
Yeah, and that's just such a simple thing these players can do, chat with the young kids, because, you know, here you are 6, 7, 8 years old, you're talking to some guys in their 20s, and you're looking up to them like superstars. And,
yeah,
you know, I assume, you know, now you're in your 20s, and I'm sure if you were playing ball, you'd be returning that back to them. So it's great to hear that. That's one, you know, and it's one thing you hear about the minor leagues or summer collegiate, you know, you just got guys just being friendly to the kids. And I think that's huge. That's important. You know, to me, I love going to the games. I see little kids trying to get autographs. I see, you know, 5, 10 kids trying to swarm a player. May not even be the most popular player on the team. It's just the player, they want their autograph, they want a picture. And, you know, I would hate to think we're ever in a position where these guys don't want to give an autograph, but it's good to see that in the Florida Collegiate League. So anyway, you're bat boy. Do you start playing Little League? What comes next in your world of baseball?
So I started playing Little League after that summer specifically. You know, I had still talked with Cody. We had written a few emails and he told me to get into it. So I became a pitcher like he did because I was like, this is cool. I want to do this. I eventually got to go to the Cal Ripken camp, which I thought was the coolest experience, you know, being on the field with those guys, meeting Cal, who's still my favorite player to this
Oh,
day.
nice, nice.
So being around the Orioles organization for a few weeks was kind of seeing how, you know, it's a proper way to run a ball club and an organization that's built on not just winning baseball games and developing talent, but also building great character. And I thought that was important as a, you know, 10-year-old kid at the time, was having a great character, even if I wasn't the best player on the team. I stopped playing around 13, I guess. I kind of realized I wasn't as good. So I was like, well, this is kind of the end of it. But I got a lot into analytics and kind of like how the games work and what I can do in the, you know, the future, and kind of leads me to where I am now, I guess you could say.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I think when I was 13, I was still thinking I was going to play in the major leagues somewhere. But I think by 15, I realized, maybe 16, I was like, yeah, this is not going to happen. When I got cut from varsity junior year and JB didn't even want me, it was the end of the line for me. But, you know, I look back and, yeah, I think when you realize, you know, you don't have a future in baseball, but I mean, you had the knowledge to say, hey, I want to get into another facet of baseball, and you're saying analytics. So, you know, as a 13-year-old, what were you thinking of analytics or, you know, another career in baseball besides being a player?
So a lot of the time when I was younger, it was mainly like, you know, keeping the stats, how guys did. It didn't matter if it was a MLB game, if it was a summer league game or a minor league game. I like to keep up with all the stats. I used to keep an Excel spreadsheet on a computer, and kind of like every day I'd go into the box scores, kind of check on how everything went. And, you know, I did it for baseball, basketball, especially. So it was kind of interesting to see how everything worked at a young age. And it's preparing me to where I am now, where hopefully I can become a GM of a summer league team one day and kind of, you know, bring it full force to how it was when I was that young kid going to the ballpark for the first time.
Yeah. Okay. So you have the aspirations of being a GM. Is there a certain league that you're looking at?
You know, just
wherever,
whatever the opportunity brings, I guess. I mean, I don't think starting out, you know, like I said earlier in our previous messages, I am in the Army, so it's kind of hard to envision what I could be able to do after this point. But I know that going to school is important, attaining internships as well. So I'm going to school right now at Grand Canyon University. So I do a lot of the online sports management stuff. And then I've also been able to acquire two internships, which were really hard to get. I only got 3 yeses out of 85 phone calls. So
Wow. 83 out of 8. You got somebody to say yes. You said you had what, 3 people? That's not bad.
Yeah. So I had 3. The 2 that I'll be doing this summer is with Edenton in May.
Okay.
And then I'm also going to do one with the Hickory Crawdads for a few days in May. I was originally scheduled to do one with the Wilson Tobbs, but due to the timeline from when they wanted me to start, from when they wanted me to end, it kind of lined up to when my daughter was going to be born, and I didn't want to miss that.
No,
so I kind of had to not. Had to push it back and, you know, dive back in to see what I could do. So Edenton was my first, you know, choice after that. I met Jared, who's the GM. He's a really nice guy. He took me and my wife out to lunch. He showed us around the ballpark. Kind of gave us a, you know, a sense of like home when it came to starting something like that. And I couldn't be more excited. I guess it's kind of my first step into working in the baseball realm, and then hopefully it will land something bigger in the future.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I almost wore my Wilson Tops hat for this interview. I was, but Indiana State grad. So I'm watching them in the NIT. So this has kind of been my go-to hat for the last few episodes, but I was looking at Wilson because I said you're from Charlotte, correct?
I currently live in Fayetteville. I'm originally from South Carolina.
Okay. Fayetteville. So I'm like, Charlotte, Fayetteville, a little bit close. So, wow. So you're working for two now. Is this summer you're doing the 2 interns for both teams? Wow. How does that work? Cause usually somebody will go to one team. How did you get 2 teams?
So I kind of was able to do a schedule, right? So I looked at every team's schedule, and I really looked at every team in the United States, if we're being completely honest.
Okay.
My wife gave me a timeline. She said May 15th to June 2nd. So I was like, I wrote down 85 different teams that were kind of close. Got a lot of no's, which is very, you know, disheartening at times. You know, you try and you try and you try. But, you know, I reached out to Wilson. Mike's a great guy. I'm very fond of him and his, like, character and his nature. It just didn't work out. So then, you know, I got on the phone with Jared, and Jared was like, yeah, we can work with your schedule. And so I was like, I'll jump on the opportunity.
Okay.
And, you know, one thing rolled to another. And then we're working for Edenton for a few weeks this summer. And then Hickory was the same thing. I knew that if I wanted to get a job in minor league baseball or become a GM, that I had to do something within it first to kind of understand how it works separately from a college summer league. Cause I know it's two separate entities. So it was kind of like same thing, calling around. Hickory was the first one to say yes.
Nice.
They gave me a few games I could work with. So it's kind of where we're at on it. Definitely excited for the opportunities that both franchises gave me, and just trying to see where it goes and just run with it and build something in the future.
Yeah, see, that's, I think I was about your age when I was looking for – I had graduated college, and I was looking for work, and everybody was offering me internships. And I was thinking to myself, I don't want to do an internship. I already did one in my field. I want to get paid. And I was also a sports management major. So, you know, when I tell people, you know, while you're in college, even in high school, try to get that experience, try to make those connections to work for a team. Because I assume these are not paid interns, or they give me a little extra cash.
So I told them I didn't need to be paid. I just wanted the experience. So
okay.
It was kind of a blessing, I guess you could say, with both of the clubs, and they kind of just ran with it. Some teams did offer money, but I didn't want to take it because I wanted the experience. I wasn't in it for money. I was kind of just, I want to learn how this works, and then hopefully get a job once my wife and I move to Florida in a couple of years.
Okay. Yeah. And you know, I think, you know, and you said you're in the Army. So, I mean, you have income coming in. Correct.
Yep.
Whereas me at the time, I did have income coming in, and I was offered a position in Portland, Maine, to work for the Eastern League. Now, they were going to give me some money, but, you know, I come from a family that says once you graduate college, you better have a job. We don't want to hear about an internship. So, you know, looking back, you're right. You need the experience. That could have been invaluable. Who the heck knows where I would be right now, you know, in the world of minor league. But I don't know if I had – I don't know if I had the drive. I listened to you and I'm like, okay, here's a young man who definitely knows what he wants to do. And he's going to probably fulfill that within a few years, you know, and I don't know if my mind was there at the time. So that sounds exciting. These two internships, and you know, what are these positions? What are they expecting you to do in Hickory and Edenton? It's going to probably be a lot of different things, correct?
It's going to be a lot of long nights and a lot of long days, but
yep.
I know for sure in Hickory, I'll be helping Alex Cook with his stadium operations, kind of setting everything
nice.
Up for game days, kind of tearing everything down. Kind of same thing in Edenton, but a little more on like the player side, you know, helping them welcome them into the community, getting them where they need to go, and kind of just helping around the ballpark as well. I will say that Edenton is probably my favorite stadium I've ever visited. You know, you go down the street and it's right there and it's so historic and it's just preserved so well by the community. And then, you know, you go around to a restaurant or you walk around the little downtown area they have, and they just, everyone loves the Steamers. And it's just, you know, those are the environments that I want to work in, is that the whole town is rallied around a team, and not just, oh, we're just going to go to the ballpark tonight and just drink, but everyone's just invested, and it's a great experience, I think.
Okay, so like with Edenton, and that's a good segue. You're saying that people are just not out there for a night out. They're there because they want this team to win, and you know, it's a team that they back. That's not the case in all of some of these teams. So,
no.
You told me that Edenton was one of your favorite ballparks. When was the first time you were there, and when did you realize that, hey, this is a special place?
So my wife and I went a couple months ago. And it was before our meeting with Jared. He had already given me the position. So my wife and I took it upon ourselves. We're like, hey, we're going to go check this place out, kind of see the area, feel it out. And, you know, we had gotten downtown. It was so quiet. I had never been in an area where I can just hear myself think. And we went out to lunch. And it was actually my wife who brought up, what do you know about the Steamers? And then like four or five people just turned around in their seats. And they were all locals. And they were just like, oh, we're so excited. And just hearing that from the community. And then you walk around the shops. You go into this little, like, I believe it's a shoe store. And they have like a whole Edenton Steamer section of just gear that they sell.
Wow.
And we were able to drive by the ballpark. We weren't able to go in because no one was there. A few weeks later, Jared reached out. He said that he'd like to have us. So he kind of showed us their old CPL days in the office. And then we went on the field, kind of saw how everything was still preserved from when it was built in the 30s. And then I just knew it was a special place. It kind of brought me back to when I was 8, 9 years old. And just, you know, it's not the level of competition like the Northwoods League or the Appalachian League, but I think those guys are going to come in the summer and just play hard and just try to win the best, as many games as they can, and bring home another trophy like they did last year.
Yeah, no, you're right. I forgot they're not in the Coastal Plain League anymore. They switched up. Do you know what the reason was, or?
So I'm not at liberty to say. It's not really my, you know, area of expertise, but I do know they're in the Old North State League now. So
that's
they're
right.
A part of the new realignment of how everything works. And it's kind of exciting to see all these, you know, different teams in North Carolina pop up, especially with Danville and Burlington jumping on as well.
Yeah, you're right. The Old North State League, that I remember being down there about 2021, and I discovered the league, and it's like, okay, kind of a small little mom and pop league. And, you know, within 3 years, my goodness, they've expanded. They picked up Danville and Burlington. Edenton's in the league, because I remember them. I thought they were still in the Tidewater Summer League, but no, they're in the Old North State League. So that's it's a league that's growing. And I mean, the way they're going, you may be able to purchase your own team one day and stick it somewhere in North Carolina if you decide to stay. I know you talked about Florida. So Edenton, like, you go to this ballpark, you and your wife. Is your wife a big baseball fan too?
She is, for the most part. You know, she only really cares about the Cubs, which is our team.
Okay.
So, other than the Cubs, you know, she's kind of like, she goes with the flow. She knows it's my thing, so she's kind of all in on it. And she was immediately taken back by how nice the town was, how friendly everybody was, and just the stadium. And she thought that it would be a great place just to spend a few weeks in the summer before our daughter was here. And I couldn't agree more, and I'm beyond excited, if you couldn't already tell.
Yeah, no. So are you going to actually be stationed in Edmonton? I'm not, Edenton, totally different city. Are you going to be like based out of Edenton? Are you going to be commuting back and forth between the two ballparks?
So the first week, or the 15th through the, I think the 19th, I'll be in Hickory. So okay. I'll be just with them for a few days. And then at the end of the month, May 28th, to June 2nd, I will be with Edenton. So I'll commute back and forth to both ones. It's about 2.5 hours each way, but, you know, sometimes you have to sacrifice for your goals.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, that's nothing wrong with doing a little driving just to get that experience. Looking at Hickory, is it a similar position there or something a little different?
So it's something a little different. It's kind of just stadium operations, but, you know, being in that minor league area, and kind of at that level that I want, which is like high A, single A, what I want to start out with. You know, eventually everyone has goals of, you know, triple A in the big league. But I think if I can get myself started with a single A club or a high A club, it can build towards something when we move to Florida, which is the goal, is to work with one of those single A teams down there as well.
Okay, definitely. Now, you said you reached out to 85 different teams. Was this all over the country? Was it emails? Did you have interviews? I mean, how far did you go in the process with some of these clubs?
Mark, I can't even begin to tell you how
I've been there. I know what you probably went through.
I went on a deep dive. I kind of pulled a lot of – I gave myself a 10-hour time limit, right? So I started with 10 hours each way. It ended up with 85 different ball clubs, whether it was the Frontier League, the Atlantic League, the American Association, summer collegiate leagues, minor league teams. So it kind of just was like, you know, pick and choose. You make a phone call. Sometimes you get a no and you can just cross it off the list. You also write follow-up emails. I know I did both because I felt like both were important at the time, just in case no one was there to answer the phone. So it was a lot of phone calls, emails. I remember I didn't have to work on a Friday. And so my wife was at work and it was about 9 in the morning and I just started. And I had remember starting from 9 in the morning and ending at 4 o'clock. And every single
Wow.
person said no. And I was very discouraged. I, you know, kind of just put my phone away, put my computer away and was like, is this really something that I want? Mike was the first yes that I got over at Wilson. We had great conversations back and forth. He did offer me a position, but like I said earlier, it just, you know, with my daughter being born, it just didn't really fit the timeline. And, you know, looking back at it, just hearing the validation of a yes and that I did it was kind of that all I needed. I didn't even have to do anything this summer, but having the validation of getting a yes was pretty much the greatest thing that could have happened in that moment.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, you're spending every day working full time trying to land something. And I mean, were you telling people I'll work for free? You just want to get your foot in the door?
I was kind of explaining it to everybody. I was like, hey, my name's Hunter. I'm just trying to reach out. I would like to intern for, you know, this time period. They would ask why. I said, I don't want to miss the birth of my daughter. I would love to be here for a full summer of baseball. But, you know, my daughter is the most important thing and my wife is and my
definitely.
Faith. So it was just, you know, everyone would be like, yeah, we'd love to have you for a summer, but you know, those 2 weeks don't work for us or that week doesn't work for us. And, you know, eventually getting to the point of, like I said earlier, just, you know, getting really discouraged.
Yeah.
And, you know, people don't really, you know, when you apply for an internship, they want you there for the whole summer so you can gain experience every single day.
Yeah.
Not a lot of teams are willing to, you know, condense it all into like a week. Or even take someone on for that point. And I totally got it. I totally understood. I think one of the most disheartening parts of the whole experience was an Appalachian League team reached out. I, you know, had a great conversation with them. They offered me something and then the next day they took it away. And it kind of was, you know, a real slap in the face in the moment. And it was kind of, you know, a wake up call. It was like, you know, sometimes people can say yes in the real world, but you know, like I said earlier, I think God had a bigger plan and he led me over to Edenton and Hickory and I couldn't be more excited.
Well, yeah, I mean, they found, you know, you found two places that will be able to accommodate your schedule. I mean, a man who wants to see a birth of his daughter, you can't argue with that, you know. So, but I also understand like maybe, yeah, we're not going to give you this 2 weeks off. So you found a place that can make it work. So that's great. I guess what I was going to question, were there any teams you were like, you really wanted to work for? Like, hey, I hope they say yes. This is like, for whatever reason, this is my dream.
Definitely the Appy League.
Yeah.
You know, just seeing how it moved from, you know, such a historic minor league organizations into a college summer league and seeing how publicized it was. You know, I think it would have looked great on a resume. And just being in those towns that love baseball, even now without their parent clubs being there, was really what I wanted. The main one was oh my gosh, I'm trying to think now, was Danville. I really wanted to work with Danville.
Sock Puppets.
The Otterbots.
Otterbots.
My,
oh God. Yep. Anderson, don't throw tomatoes at my house.
Danville was the big one. It just didn't swing our way. So, you know, like I said earlier, we pivoted and we moved on. So I'm not knocking any of these teams. I think they run great organizations. It just, you know, wasn't a great fit. And we're in a good position now, I think, for myself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's another thing. It, you know, Danville could have been a perfect fit for you. It's just, you know, you found something a little bit better, you know, just or you found some that worked a little bit better for you. So, yeah, that's great to hear that you're going to be getting this experience and that you're, you know, willing to put in those extra miles and hopefully you come out better for it. Now, once you're done with your internship, you did say about moving out of Florida. I mean, do you see yourself maybe working and making money in the industry next year or in 2 years in Florida?
Yeah, so definitely by 2025, I plan on it. It's kind of like I'm set in stone on it. I definitely want to work with one of three organizations just based off readings and,
Okay.
being close proximity to family. So definitely Jacksonville, the
Nice.
Jumbo Shrimp,
Jumbo Shrimp.
the Pensacola Blue Wahoos, and then the other one was Dunedin, the Blue
Oh,
Jays.
yeah.
I really like how their organizations are run. I've been to all three of their ballparks, and just, seeing how the staff is and just seeing how everything is, would I think I'd be a great fit down there as well.
Yeah, Dunedin, Florida. That was one of my first minor league ballparks back in 1991. I was down there with a friend of my mom's, and her husband took me out. He said, "Hey, let's go check out some ballparks." And this was at a time where, you had Clearwater, you had St. Pete, you had Dunedin. He was a Phillies guy, so he's like, "Hey, let's go to Clearwater." Well, Clearwater wasn't playing. And then he's like, "Well, let's go to Dunedin." And he's like, "Just look for the lights." And I remember him telling me this as a kid. He's like, "Just look for the lights of the ballpark. We know we're close." And every time I go visit a stadium, obviously we have GPS now, but I'm always looking for the lights because, there's still that little kid in me looking for Dunedin's ballpark. But yeah, I remember I won a I think I won a meal at a local restaurant there. And they threw out some kind of mini little baseballs that I caught. And that was like my first true minor league experience. And it was like, man, that's where I fell in love that summer, 1991, so many years ago. It was a great time. And when I go back to Florida, it's always a nice treat to check out some ballparks, especially once I haven't been to in quite some time. So that's wonderful. So Florida, you said you grew up outside of Leesburg, correct?
So I would spend the summers down there. My
Okay.
grandparents grew up there. They moved up to Burlington a few years ago.
Okay.
So we would go down there every summer. I'm originally from Columbia, South Carolina. So my
Nice.
dad was in the military as well, and that's kind of where we settled down at. But the baseball never died, I
No.
guess. And yeah, I grew up in the era of the South Carolina University going back to back for college baseball. So
Yeah.
it just grew even more. And then, being in the army, just it never died. And
Yeah.
just seeing all the different ballparks and being an adult and being able to travel to these different stadiums and kind of just, as a kid, the resources weren't always there. I didn't have a car, I didn't have a license. And then as I got older, I was like, I can just do it myself if I wanted to take a road trip.
I
And then,
know that's a great feeling when you realize you can do
yeah.
that. Yeah.
So I was able to develop a top five, which are my favorite ballparks I've ever
Okay,
been to.
let's hear
So
them.
the first one's Pensacola.
Nice.
That was actually the first date with my wife where we actually went and did something. So we went to the July 3rd game of a couple years ago. I thought I had bought tickets for July 4th, and she wanted to see the fireworks, and there were no fireworks. So it's always a nice little joke that we have about fireworks is that I brought us to July 3rd and not July 4th. Leesburg, of course, is always going to be there. It's always going to be in my heart. It's one of my favorite organizations, favorite teams still to this day. I'm a big fan of High Point. We go to High Point a lot to watch the Rockers play.
Oh,
I threw
yeah.
out the first pitch last summer after a deployment, and I came home, kind of got it all set it up. I'm a big fan of Burlington. I love the sock puppets. I love
Yes.
Anderson, and I love everything that they do in Burlington. And then, of course, Edenton, just being in a beautiful town that it is, and just a real baseball community.
Yeah, I like Burlington too. That was a lot of fun when I went there, and it was a night where it rained a little bit. There was like a light mist, but you still had you had a great amount of people there. And of course, you have the covered grandstand, which protects, the customer from the rain for the most part. So I could just imagine what that would be like, during a nice summer night. And you probably have more people there, but I thought that was a great crowd. Yeah, Burlington was a lot of fun, and I get a little bit jealous. I was talking to Anderson Ruthven a few weeks ago, and I'm like, man, you guys are just close to so many ballparks. It's like half hour you could be in High Point, another half hour Greensboro, 10 minutes Winston-Salem. It's like, how do you choose? what ballpark to go to sometimes.
So a lot of it is the work that you've done on Stadium Journey. I've been following it for a few years now. So, you know, obviously we have, you know, the Woodpeckers here in Fayetteville, but, you know, I go on Stadium Journey and I just type in North Carolina or, you know, Virginia, West Virginia. And my wife and I will look at the reviews really that you or someone else has done and just, you know, we'll go from there. And it kind of develops of where we've gone and just all the experiences we have. So now we have up to 27 ballparks we've visited or I visited myself. And a lot of it has come from you guys over at Stadium Journey. So.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm glad you and the what misses are looking at it and, you know, making some of your journeys. Have you been up to the Midwest or most of it's been in the South in Florida?
So most of it's been the Southeast. We don't really travel up to the Midwest. It's kind of hard with work and whatnot. But eventually I do want to go over to the Northwoods League, kind of just see how it is. And I know there's a lot of great ballparks out there. I've heard really good things about Traverse City. I'm a big fan. I love the stadium on the outside, and then you kind of walk in and you just see it once you're in there. And I like the smaller ones too. You know, like Royal Oak, the video that you've done was really interesting.
That's a funny story about Royal Oak. I was up there for the Tigers game, and I guess whatever I had to do for the Tigers game, I was recording and reviews, and then I saw that Royal Oak was playing and I didn't realize how close they were. So I actually called the number that was on the website and I got a hold of the owner or GM, I forget who. And he's like, yeah, sure. Come on up. We'll be waiting for you. So I drive up to Royal Oak, which was like a 30-minute drive in the suburbs. And the ballpark is not anything fancy from what you can tell, but my God, there was a lot of people there. They had food, they had drinks, they had a mascot. It was exciting. You felt like this was the place to be. And, you know, now they're in the Northwoods League this coming season, and they're going to make some more improvements to the stadium. I can only imagine what that place is going to be like in a couple years. So, you know, one of those hitting little gems that, you know, you may not know about. But no, you're absolutely right. I love summer collegiate leagues a lot. They do remind me of when I was a kid going to the minor leagues, whether it was the Florida State League or some of the AA leagues. You know, it's just these small stadiums, just adding on the different areas of the ballpark to sort of just improve the atmosphere. And in the long run, making sure everybody has fun from, you know, 7-year-old little boy to an 80-year-old man.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, a lot of the things that I've, you know, whether it's an experience or just talking to people is eventually what I want to bring into, you know, running a team one day is having that experience for whether you're 7 years old and you're going for the first time or, you know, you're 80 years old, you've been around baseball for 60 plus years, is being able to bring a community together and just have them rally around one team. And that's the goal one day, is to just run a team like that and have people kind of all over. Have a great brand, I think, is important, but, you know, just a community feel where people are proud to call whatever the team name is one day their team and their community team.
Yeah. Just, you know, just like you mentioned, the High Point Rockers, I went there on an off day and I don't know, I can't think of the young lady's name, but she said, hey, let me take you around the ballpark. I'm going to show you, you know, what this stadium has to offer. And if you ever want to come back, let us know. And she easily could have said, hey, just walk around, take some pictures. But she gave me a tour, a personal tour.
It's a beautiful
tour.
Stadium.
It is. It is a nice stadium. I don't know how crowds are for the most part, because I feel like there's so much baseball going on around there. But there's a dog park. There's a splash pad. They have seats from other stadiums in the outfield. I think even like some football stadiums. It's designed in a way that I think it has seating around every aspect, them in Gastonia as well. So yeah, it's one of those ballparks that it doesn't look like your normal standard ballpark. It's, you know, it's got a lot to offer everyone.
I love High Point. I think it's a, you know, it's a great area, and the ballpark is in a great, you know, part of the city as well. You know, going in there the first time, it kind of, you know, seeing how everything is spread out, I think is great, especially if you have, you know, young families or you have, you know, older generations of baseball fans going as well. The crowds are pretty good. I will say we've been multiple times. I've never been disappointed, nice. Whether they've won or they've lost. Now they win more than they lose. So it's kind of hard to see if they're having a losing year, because they really haven't.
Yeah.
But every time we've been, it's been a great time. The first pitch was definitely a great experience that I had with them. It was kind of, you know, set up. They kind of brought me onto the field. They announced, you know, this is Hunter. He came back from a deployment. Mm-hmm. And just to, you know, see a lot of the crowd kind of like stand up was kind of a surreal moment.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to meet some of the guys on the team was pretty cool as well. And just the hospitality that High Point shared. So it's definitely a top stadium in North Carolina as well. There's a lot of other ones that I've been to and my wife and I have been to, but definitely High Point sticks out in North Carolina.
Yeah. Did you throw a strike when you're on the mound?
It was a little bit outside. But
yeah, a little bit outside. You didn't bounce it. That's the most important thing.
That's what I was nervous about the whole time, because I hadn't thrown one in a few years. And I was like, well, if I bounce it, then I just kind of embarrass myself in front of, you know, 1,000 people. But
yeah,
luckily it got there.
Yeah, I threw out the first pitch up in Grand Rapids at West Michigan Whitecaps back in 2019. I think I threw a strike. It was very close. It was on the border. It was probably just hit the edge of the plate. And then I was talking to the owner of the Boys County Bombers of the Prospect League. They play in Southern Indiana, where they film a league of their own. He said, "Hey, come out here. I'll have you throw the first pitch." So maybe doing that again. So yes. So that now I'm like, shoot, now I got to practice again. But
you just got to get it over the plate.
Yeah, just got to get over the plate. And, you know, when I go to a lot of ballparks, I see people throwing out their first pitch, you know, all sorts of fans, men and women and kids. And I always tell folks, if you don't have a strong arm, just lob it. Just throw an Ephus pitch. You won't bounce it. And there's a young lady who I told to do that, who I think actually moved to Columbia, South Carolina, if I recall. She threw a nice Ephus pitch. Not an Ephus pitch. She just lobbed it in. For a strike, so nice. Any ballparks you want to see? Any on, as Anna would say, on your bucket list?
There's a few. I definitely want to be able to go out to Chicago. I've never been to Wrigley.
Nice.
That's definitely a goal of mine. And you know, mentioned just the Northwoods League. I've been to a lot of the Appy League stadiums. College summer ball is really my expertise.
Like
definitely the Northwoods League. You know, you have Madison, the Mallards. I think they do a phenomenal job. And then just the other teams, you know, Traverse City. I definitely want to see Newport. I've seen the dimensions and how interesting it is.
Cardines Field. Yeah.
Yep. We have family up in Rhode Island, so that's definitely a go-to eventually. But definitely those. My favorite one I've driven by, I've never actually been in, was Bluefield, the Ridge Runners.
Okay.
So just seeing the mountain backdrop, I think would be an awesome place to watch a baseball game. So definitely those are on the bucket list. So
yeah, no, I'm with you there. Every summer I talk to a lot of folks and they already have their list of where they're going. I don't have it yet because I'm not quite sure what my plans are. I like to hit up Iowa, hit Clinton and Cedar Rapids and Quad Cities. They're all three of those ballparks are very close. They make like a triangle. Easy trip to do, you know, see a game in the afternoon, see a game in the evening. You know, then there's a new ballpark in Huntington, West Virginia, in the Appalachian League, the Cole Cats.
Yep.
You know, that'd be an overnight drive for me. I like to get back down to Nashville to check out the Sounds. But you're right, just the small little ballparks I've always been intrigued with, just to see how things are run in a small town and, you know, just kind of get that hospitality that, you know, it sounds like exists in Edenton. So,
So we've, you know, just my experience of being, you know, growing up in the South was a lot of hospitality, whether it was at a ballpark or it was just in general. But definitely those are the main ones on the list. I definitely, before we move from North Carolina and move back down to Florida, is definitely, I have to go see Bowen Field in West Virginia. I love West Virginia as a state. I think it's one of the most beautiful, underrated states. But definitely seeing Bowen Field and just the history that they have there with guys like Vlad Jr. that play in the majors now would definitely be cool to see.
Yeah, that's funny. I was just having a talk with somebody about West Virginia today. We're talking about whether it was constitutionally right for West Virginia to have left Virginia at the time. It was talking with a bunch of history teachers at work. So I don't know why we got in that conversation, but you are talking about how you like West Virginia. It's one of your favorite states. Yeah, I'm not too far away from it, and maybe I need to make a visit this summer to check out a new ballpark to write about for Stadium Journey. People
Well,
need to know about the Cole Cats.
you'll know I read it, so if
Yeah.
you do it, it'll get read, so.
All right, sounds great. Now you mentioned in the Army. I know we didn't talk a lot about that, but how did you get a career in the Army? What made you join?
So I knew that college wasn't for me after high school. I kind of wanted to start working, and like I said earlier, baseball died early.
Yeah.
So it was kind of following in my dad's footsteps of what he did was he did 21 years, so I'm at 9, and this is it. I want to be around for my daughter, for my wife, and not be gone for 6, 7 months out of the time. I have nothing but great experiences and great memories. But it's just, times come to an end, and I think that, realizing that a few months ago is it's time to move on and move on to my goals. And I'm thankful for Grand Canyon University, where I can study to, sports management and eventually build it into a career.
Okay, sounds great. Sounds like a lot of fun, and I wish you the best. How many more years you have at Grand Canyon?
So about 3.5. I just started a couple months ago,
Yeah.
but we went on a nice little tournament run, so that was nice. We won our first ever NCAA tournament game on,
That's huge.
I believe it was Friday or Saturday night over St. Mary's. It didn't go our way last night against Alabama, but
Yeah.
30-win season, a tournament victory, I'll take it any day of the week.
Hey,
So,
your college made the NCAA. Indiana State, who I think got a raw deal not making it,
now I agree. I think Indiana State, they had the better net ranking. They had the
Yeah.
resume to prove it. It didn't go their way in the conference tournament, but Drake was a
No.
great team as well. So I think Indiana State probably would have put up more of a fight than 20% of the teams in the
Yeah.
tournament did. So it would have been cool to see them. I've followed Indiana State this year. I like the
All right.
mid-major basketball scene. So not just Grand Canyon. There's a lot of good players on different mid-majors, whether it's, Indiana State or a lot of the other WAC teams that play in our conference, or teams like Appalachian State, James Madison. So big mid-major basketball fan for sure.
Okay. Yeah, and I working for Stadium Journey, I do visit a lot of mid majors, and sometimes you get an awesome crowd, and other times it's okay. But Indiana State this year definitely brought a lot of people back to the Holman Center, like I've never seen before. I was like, wow, this place is packed, and they had to have police outside to direct traffic outside of
Oh
downtown.
my.
Never saw that before, never saw a waiting list for tickets, the amount of merchandise you can buy. People are talking about this team. So, it's got me, watching the NIT, and hopefully they make it to the point where they can play at Butler's Hinkle Fieldhouse, because I'll be there if they do that. So,
I think they got a great shot. I think
yeah.
there's a lot of good teams left in the NIT, but I think if I had to, place a wager on it, I'd pick Indiana State. They're the more consistent team for
Yeah.
sure.
Yeah. Of course, as we're listening to this, we're dating ourselves a little bit, because this will air after the NIT. But yeah, that's the joy of doing podcasts. So, we'll say that Indiana State is NIT champions 2024, and make that prediction possible. I don't know who's winning the Final Four NCAA, but North Carolina, maybe they have a shot.
So I actually have Houston winning.
Okay.
Hopefully they can get it done. I'm not a big believer in Purdue. I'll say that for whoever listens to
Yeah.
this podcast right now, I'm not a believer in Purdue.
You want to believe in them.
Not me.
Not you, though.
I don't think they're there. I think that their offense is too Zach Edey central, and then they just, they don't really differentiate from it. I think they got hot last night against Utah State, but I don't think that they can keep it going against teams like a Gonzaga or a Creighton or a Tennessee. So
Spoken like a true IU fan, so believe you me, I got a lot of IU fans. Well, we'll see how our predictions come out. Hopefully some people have either some laughs or giggles or say, hey, those guys are spot on when they hear this. So, okay, Hunter, I appreciate you coming on. I wish you the best this year in your internship. Keep us updated. And hopefully within a few years, you know, we'll be reading a report about how you got hired somewhere in minor league baseball. So where can people find you if they want to chat with you or get to know you a little bit more?
So a lot of times I'm kind of just a homebody. If you think about it, I spend a lot of time with my wife, with my dog and soon to be daughter, and just play a lot of golf. My Instagram is at the Hunter Kane Experience. If teams are ever interested to have a conversation, I'm always willing. So that's pretty much the main source of where people can find me at.
Okay. And then when are you and your wife are expecting?
June 13th is our due date for our daughter. Her name is going to be Lila. So I'm definitely excited. So.
All right. And then pretty soon you guys will be on the road, checking out some ballparks yourself, maybe.
Hopefully we can bring her up with the same baseball energy that I have. And, you know, we can carry on the Cubs legacy in our house, but also just being a baseball fan.
Yeah. Or one day she may just tell you I'm a Cardinals fan.
I will be okay with it. The 29 other teams other than the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You sure don't want to root for the Reds? Mommy and daddy will feel better if you did that, or maybe a Mets fan like me. So
any other teams besides the Cardinals. Okay with.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, Hunter, thanks for coming on, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
You too. All right, that was Hunter as he embarks on, sounds like a very exciting summer, two internships. How old was I when I was doing my internships? I was about his age. You know, it's funny. He's like, yeah, when I was 7 years old, I went to Leesburg Lightning. And I'm like, did he say Leesburg Lightning? Because I was there the year before. They had the Lightning. They were playing an exhibition game there around the 4th of July. And I was like, man, you know, when I was 7 years old, I was at the Astrodome in Texas. So, but I tell you, he sounds like a gentleman, young man who definitely is going to have a future minor league baseball or professional baseball. Let's not just say minor leagues. I think my problem when I came out of Indiana State as a sports management major, I was very naive. I was very clueless. I thought, oh, I have a sports management degree. I'm going to get hired. No, you have to have a little bit knowledge. You have to do a little research. You have to work those long hours like he said he will, long nights. And you got to be willing to, you know, get your hands dirty, you know. And I could tell you some cool stories from my days working in professional sports, minor league sports and whatnot, but I don't know if my mind was there. I don't know if I realized, hey, this is, I don't know if 26-year-old Mark knew, hey, this is what you have to do and you're not doing it. So get it done. And I think Hunter's a guy who definitely is figuring out what you have to do and has done it. So, definitely have to have him back on the show, whether it's later on this year after the season's over. I'd love to hear about his work with the Steamers and, of course, with Hickory. And, you know, he mentioned what ballparks I'd like to get out to in North Carolina. Edenton was one. I'd like to get out to Fayetteville. Definitely like to get back out to Wilson. I'm trying to think of some other ones that I've never sat down and watched a game at. Like Holly Springs is a ballpark I've seen that looks kind of fun. Wilmington. New Bern, you know, some of these older ballparks, maybe some teams in the Old North State League. Definitely Burlington to see Anderson again. That was a lot of fun. If you're ever in anywhere near Burlington, and that could be Greensboro, Winston-Salem, Durham, obviously go to Durham as well. Check out Burlington. That is a fun little old school ballpark. I love it. It's one of my favorite spots to see a game, and it stinks that I'm about like 9 hours away from the stadium. Of course, I have my friend Zach down there. I can always hang out with him in the missus, and his little daughter loves baseball. Hopefully she still loves baseball. She loved it that summer I was there. She wanted to go to a stadium every day. I was like, ah, oh, the daughter I never had. So that was fun. Hopefully she's still in the baseball. You know, sometimes you lose interest and you get into other things. So, and I love how he said he read Stadium Journey, and he, you know, he looked up our reviews to see what places were liked. He also talked a little bit about the pricing. He said that, you know, for tickets, parking, food, drink, he paid, what do you say, $23 over in Burlington, and for the same amount of tickets, food, and all that, he paid about $58 over in Fayetteville for a Woodpeckers game. And to him, going to see both games, it was the same type of baseball. He didn't look at one lesser or better. He didn't say, well, this is a better one because it's affiliated ball. This is worse because it's summer collegiate. He said for the experience, for his money, Burlington would be the place he would go to. I don't know. I've never been to Fayetteville, so I'm not going to say anything. But I know when I went to Johnson City, I had a blast. I went to Danville, I had fun. I went to Burlington, I had fun. And those are all summer collegiate league teams. I never sat there and said, wow, the baseball really sucks out here. Because I think the Danville game was like 11 to 10. They had some crazy, what was the rule they had out there where there was like walk-off home runs? Like they had guys, I don't know, some kind of weird rule they had in the Appalachian League. I think they still have it. It just dawned on me now. And as I was recording it, my battery went dead on my camera. I couldn't get the last hit. Ugh. Anyway, so, hey, folks, I appreciate you listening to the Ballpark Hunter podcast. Hopefully your NIT and Final Four predictions have come true. This is recorded on March 25th. Its air date is April 15th. So, yeah, we're a little bit out there on today's date, and hopefully by April 15th, the eclipse will be over. Baseball will be in full bloom. The Mets will be in first place. And let me see. The Devils will have made a huge playoff run and gained the eighth and final. I'm sorry. Yeah, eighth and final playoff seed in the East. Yeah, right on that one. So thank you once again for listening to Ballpark Hunter podcast. Thank you for checking me out at Stadium Journey, stadiumjourney.com, the industry's leader in sports travels. And of course, as always, on YouTube, Ballpark Hunter, check out my videos of different ballparks. I don't have as many videos as I do reviews on Stadium Journey, but there's a lot. I have two videos from Burlington that you can check out. And I'm sure that experience is just as good as it was when I was there. Same with Johnson City. And, you know, let's face it, I've been to a lot of different ballparks across the Midwest. So Midwest, the East Coast, the West Coast, Texas, even Canada. So anyway, check me out next week. I don't know who my guests will be yet, but we'll find out. So until next time, my friends, happy hunting. Bye-bye.